It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
We were all glued to our TVs last night. What were we watching? The College Football Playoff Selection Committee, Perloff, they have spoken. The first of many weeks of now debating the college football playoff.
Yeah, I don't know how they're
going to... That's all we were watching last night.
By the way, on that front, I don't know how they're going to stretch this one out. I feel like Joey Galloway was already stretching into the first show. I love that crew. I love Reese Booger, Joey, and those guys are great. But it's... the funny thing is they basically put out the AP ranking, but whatever.
Basically, they did. But, you know, here's the one thing, and if you weren't paying attention to this last night, obviously, there was a lot of other stuff going on. But the top four seeds look like this. The top four teams, actually, which is different than the top four seeds. But it looks, you said, like a lot like the AP poll. Oregon at the very top. Ohio State is two. Georgia is three. University of Miami is four, Texas is five, then Penn State, Tennessee, then we get to undefeated Indiana and BYU's, and Miami's undefeated also, obviously, in Oregon. But the bracket of this looks really cool, week one. Like, which college football fan in your right mind, Perloff, wouldn't want to see first-round matchups between Tennessee and Indiana or Ohio State and Boise State? That'd be really cool on the campus of Boise State, by the way. Penn State at Notre Dame would be a rager. Texas at Alabama, if the committee and things ended today, that's what the first-round matchups would be. So as a football fan, I want to see all these games. But I'm going to be honest with you. Once they put out the 12 teams, I was like, they messed up.
How so?
Just, we should have left it with four.
Oh, get out of here.
We should have left it with four. Because,
no way.
Yes, because now we're going to have, I think, even more of the biases that are going to come in terms of brand and logo, although that was always bad, even back in the day.
Uh-huh.
And I think we're going to end up in a place where no one's actually going to be happy here. You miss out on the top four. It's such a ridiculously high bar that... only the elite of the elite teams. Now we're going to be quibbling about whether Indiana, with a 100 strength of schedule, yet maybe a good loss to Ohio State, is actually better than like LSU. It's just going to be, I don't think we're going to get anywhere in terms of determining a champion. I don't think it's going to get any better than that.
I totally disagree. I think this is great, especially in the new era of parity. This is awesome. I mean, you have two teams in the top four already have a loss. Like how do you know? Like, Ohio State doesn't look better than any team below them. Georgia looks very vulnerable. Miami, who's number four, we haven't seen them play a real team. Like, we have no idea. This is a wild 12 team. I feel like it's more wide open than we've seen in forever. And if we didn't have 12 team, we wouldn't have Boise State possibly going. You know, we wouldn't have BYU's this amazing story. It's funny, you said the one. I'm not super interested in Tennessee. I like the average SEC, like the next tier of SEC schools, that's where I think the 12 team is going to run into a little bit of a problem. Just piling it up with average.
Buckle up. But they got eight in the first 12 rankings. I mean, this is what's going to happen.
But you can't have Boise State and BYU without those schools. So I'm all about the 12-team playoff.
We love Boise State. It's a great story. We love that.
Apparently you don't. You want four teams. You want to see the same old four teams at the top.
I want it to be fair. And when I look at what they did, at least in the first rankings, to Indiana and to BYU, I'm like, especially BYU, what are you guys looking at? Like, this is where you're thinking the brand names of other schools are going to be favored, right? Like, yeah, they'd be number four in the bracket now if they win the Big 12,
right?
But they have better wins. They beat SMU on the road. They destroyed K-State. And they actually might miss out on being the fifth highest ranked conference champion because Boise State is literally right behind them. And Boise State, I love them, but their best win is Washington State, and then a close loss at Oregon is their second best thing on the schedule.
Well, UNLV.
And a win against UNLV.
Yeah.
Okay, but again, that's not SMU, and that's not blowing out K-State, at least how things look right now.
I mean, listen, I think the committee, if I go the opposite way, I think the committee should consider strength of schedule even more. You know, if Indiana, they're 103 out of 134 in strength of schedule.
Yeah.
I mean, they haven't played anybody.
They haven't played anybody.
And Notre Dame is a joke, by the way. I want to put that out there, too. Notre Dame's schedule, they're 75th out of 134, and that's not going to go up much, even though they'll play Army. But, like,
Texas A&M win is not looking as good because
right.
A&M
I mean, come on.
Has lost.
I just think that generally, that I think if you're a major program, why would you schedule anyone when you look at these rankings? Like, it's stupid to put hard teams on your schedule because they're clearly, to me, they don't care about strength of schedule. I think at the end of the day, I mean, you say brands, but I think Alabama has the 11th hardest schedule in the country. Like, they deserve, if they get through this with two losses, they deserve it.
Okay, but then I think you're going to, on the flip side, you will have people who are a little ticked off because, say, Indiana, again, with the strength of schedule that is not good, but it's possible they have, it's possible that they go 11-1. But have zero wins, this is if they lose to Ohio State, but have zero wins over teams that received a single point in the top 25. Like, a single ranking, like a one single vote to be ranked in the top 25. Those would be their wins.
Yeah, but they'll have a great chance with one loss. According to everyone on ESPN last night, they still have a great chance to get in with one loss to Ohio State if it's close.
If it's close, but right. They're not going to make it to the Big Ten title game at that point
right.
Because it'd be Oregon and Ohio State.
Right, but some of the teams behind them, they'll fall, but some of the teams behind them have losses coming too. So you got to remember, it's one loss will look a lot different after 4 weeks than it does now. So they have they're not done if they lose to Ohio State.
No, they're not.
That'd be interesting. By the way, and if they get blown out by Ohio State, which seems unlikely because Ohio State isn't really blowing teams out, then what does that say about Indiana?
Then everything was built on a house of cards.
Yeah,
right? And this great story is not this great story. This is why I want the four teams back.
Oh, God.
And we used to quibble about the four teams, and I know Florida State got screwed last year, but take that out of your brain for a second. Don't you think we generally landed on the top four teams? Top 12?
Well,
you are just inviting so much chaos.
I have no idea. Honestly, I have no idea if these are the top four teams. I know Oregon's the number one team.
No, I'm saying when we used to do it, the way we used to do
it. No, I don't know that we ever landed on the top four teams. I mean, last year honestly, remember we spent a month talking about that? We had no idea if we landed on the top four.
I said take away FSU last year because that was a crazy one. They lost their quarterback and everything got screwy. But here's the thing. The way that this format is set up, and it may not last like this forever, but the way the format's set up is that you're going to have a BYU or a Miami getting first-round byes when they might not be the best teams in the country. Maybe Miami is. I don't know.
That's okay. Then they'll get discovered in the second round. They'll get exposed.
Okay.
I don't know. I can't see any downside to this. I understand what you're saying, like maybe...
It's a moving target of committee biases.
Yeah, but it's always been that way. I think it's
a little harder to keep certain teams out, though, when it's four.
I mean, listen, they started
for Florida State last year, I realized that was a bad test case.
The four-team playoff started off in 2014, and they just mysteriously jumped Ohio State over TCU, and everybody was like... And then they rolled the table. So with Cardale Jones, there's never been logic here. They don't... And also, their system is... It feels kind of arbitrary to me.
I'm curious. I know there was a lot going on last night, but if people were paying attention to this, did it feel like, all right, this is cool and I want this, or are we actually going to get a truer champion? And isn't that what this is all about? It's
Definitely.
Actually all about money, but let's not make a mistake about that. It's about money. It's about TV. But are we actually getting a truer champion?
I think absolutely. This year especially, because like, what is the margin of error between these top teams and the lower teams? I mean, Alabama is 11, and they, as I recall, beat number 3 Georgia, and they could beat them again. Who knows? I mean, doesn't this feel like a who knows season? Ohio State, we've watched Ohio State. Like, they feel like they could play with anybody right now.
Yeah, and you don't mean that in a good way. You mean
right, like they could
way.
Be in a game. And Miami looks awesome, but they just have not had the schedule. So we don't know.
Miami looks like they're begging to lose a game, too.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
know last week they look, yeah. but I mean, the comeback against Cal, the Virginia Tech ending, Louisville, I mean, yeah. They've been on a razor's edge.
I think a lot will be clarified in the coming weeks. For example, we'll have LSU, Alabama. This is a real test.
That's a knockout game.
We get to see who is Alabama. You know, is Alabama, do they deserve to be here? They'll get to prove it at LSU.
And listen, whoever loses out, LSU didn't make the initial top 12. If they beat Alabama, they will get into the top 12, and Alabama will have 3 losses, and they'll be gone.
Yeah, it is interesting. Like, you can already see some real battles being drawn. Somebody's going to get screwed. That's a good thing about 12. It doesn't matter. You will agree that it doesn't matter if it's 4 or it's 12. The last team out is still going to be just as furious.
Yeah, well, now it's, I think a lot of fan bases are setting themselves up like, oh, we should have absolutely been in. And now it makes your season look like all that much more of a failure if you didn't. Like, I'm thinking about the Ole Misses of the world and teams like that where you were really expecting you were going to be there.
Yeah, try not to lose to Kentucky. But if Ole Miss beats Georgia this week, then
they back in.
They're in great shape. And honestly, that'd be a big feat.
All you got to do is beat Georgia.
That'd be a big feat for a program like Ole Miss to beat Georgia. I don't remember Lane and Ole Miss winning a game like that. So,
and then what do you do with Georgia with two losses? I mean, again.
Yeah, it's fun. What's wrong? Let's have controversy.
I don't know. EJ, are you with me? Manny, are you with me with Perloff? More is more?
I mean, yesterday I was the one who said, let's bring the BCS back, so.
Yeah. Manny, you are the third-party candidate in this whole thing. You are officially representing independence.
Let's not even do BCS. Let's just have a, I don't even remember. What did they call the pre-BCS era?
I think they just declared champions, right? It was just like, they're the AP champions. They won the poll.
Yeah, there were a couple splits.
Declare championship.
It's called a bunch of dudes in a smoky back room.
Yeah, you ever had a co-champion before, Manny? That's not fun for anybody.
That one is not great.
I think what bothers me a little bit is just the margin of error for these SEC teams being so great compared to everyone else, right? Like, as a Miami fan, like, I sit here with the number one offense, Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, and it sounds like, just from the commentary of the committee, it sounds like they like Miami a lot because of that offense. But you feel like, looking at the conference breakdown, that if they lose one game, like, are they going to plummet to, like, 10 or 11? Yeah. Like, I see Notre Dame, they lost to freaking Northern Illinois, and it feels like they really didn't wear that. It feels like Alabama, with two losses, hasn't worn losing to Vanderbilt. Like,
oh, EJ, I'll tell you what better about Miami. Let's set up this scenario about your precious Hurricanes. Let's say you get all the way to the ACC championship game and you lose.
Right.
And now you're sitting there at 12-1.
That's the
Are you stealing a bid from whatever SEC team?
That's the question.
I
worry about not even that.
That's maybe where your logo helps.
Yeah, and I also worry about seeding, though, too. It's just like, again, like, okay, you lose one game. Like, are you going to plummet to 11 or 10? Like, you have number one offense. You've been.
So who cares if you're in? What's the difference?
Well, you don't get a home game or a bye. You don't get a bye.
But if they lose the ACC title game, they don't deserve a bye. So that's fine. But
why would Alabama losing to Vanderbilt be better than Miami losing to SMU or losing to Clemson?
Yeah, but as long as they're in, to me, it's as long as you're in, you're okay. But hey, let me ask you a question.
But I think the bye matters.
I think the committee is not going to care about conference losses. So conference title game losses. Reese Davis asked Ward Manuel that last night. And Manuel talked around a little bit. But remember, was it last year or 2 years ago when Kansas State beat TCU in the conference title game and they just blew over it? And I think they're leaning towards not counting that as a loss. Based on the way the committee is and the way he said it last night. So I don't think that will screw Miami.
See, I think that's just another point and another safety net or what have you for the committee to basically do whatever they want. It's like, maybe they'll favor conference title games. Maybe they won't. I don't know. It kind of leaves them all the wiggle room that they possibly need.
I think they're going to let teams go on conference title losses. I really do. And I think they probably should, because it's an extra game.
So you think that if Miami goes the ACC championship game and they lose.
Yeah, they're like 10.
Then two ACC teams are
getting
in.
Yes, I do.
But then again, like, why are we 10? That's why I don't understand.
My God. Look at all of a sudden Miami has a big. When's the last time they've been a title contender? Now you're complaining because you're in too low in the playoffs?
Wait, hold on. Are we talking about Tennessee's 8? Texas, what have they won? Yeah. Like, come on now. Let's relax.
Yeah.
Like, that's my problem again. It's there's a weighted. Again, these losses, like Tennessee, like, they have a terrible loss. Like, Alabama has one terrible loss. Like, Miami will not have a bad loss if they run the table in the regular season.
Can we just, like, pull back a second? Now EJ's complaining that Miami's too low in the playoff. Listen, like, this is Miami. Like, you're awesome. Like, enjoy this.
I'm with EJ on this one, Perloff, because I think what EJ is explaining here is it's not about actually what's just happening this year.
Right.
That whole Miami, you should just be happy to be here. Yeah. That's taking in all the previous years of Miami falling short and all of that stuff. And I think that's going to work for and against people, by the way.
Well, it's also, I think it's about the schedule. I mean, I think The schedule should be so weighted. I would love to see college football say, all we care about is strength of schedule. So that meant in September, instead of watching Mercer play Georgia, we could get some like big games. But now teams are going to be like, forget that. I'm never scheduling a tough out. I mean, look, honestly, like the funny thing about it, we've talked about this, Miami, like they let up 45 to Louisville, 31 to Duke, 38 to California, 34 to Virginia Tech. Is this a really elite team, EJ?
I mean, their defense is bad, but run off the offensive numbers they put up in those games.
Yeah, a lot.
And by the way, you talk about scheduling, some of it also is so arbitrary. Because yeah. Miami schedules a road game at Florida, first game of the season, 3 years ago. That sounds like, you know, like you're walking into the eye of the tiger, right?
I know.
Like it's, and then Ohio State, what road games are they scheduling? Well, you got Akron in week
they
two.
They went to Oregon.
I mean, that's a regular season conference game. I'm talking about non-conference schedule.
Did Ohio State play a tough game early?
No.
I think Michigan also, they rode this. I mean, Michigan was a great team last year, maybe an all-time team, so whatever. But they played nobody. They were paying to get out of games, you know? And that you're going to see a lot more of that. But here's the thing, Pearl. I think college football executives or whatever, they'll tell you, okay, well, you sacrifice a week September schedule if you're getting awesome January.
No, it's stupid.
What they're hoping, because you look at this bracket where it's like, yeah, I do want to watch Penn State play Notre Dame, actually. Penn State can't win a big game. So
I think they need to somehow encourage. And at the end of the day, I think they will look at strength of schedule. I think it'll be the most important factor, and it should be. Because if you play tough teams, you're going to have more losses. That's just how it works. It's math.
855-212-4227. Well, if it's math. Why waste any time? Let's go to the phones. Darius is in Dallas. He's up first here on the Maggie and Perloff Show. Hey, Darius.
How you doing, Maggie and Perloff? I appreciate you guys stepping me on. I just wanted to get on here as an SMU alum and former football player there. I just don't agree with the fact, going back to a 14 playoff, I don't even think it makes sense. I think the refreshness of having a lot more teams involved. Even the fact that you guys just spoke about, five or six teams right there just makes it better. I think with the NIL and the transfer portal, it will begin to level the playing field out. This year might be a little harder for some of the lower-end teams, but just like college basketball, after a while, you'll start having teams that can compete at a higher level that you would never been able to have happen, in my opinion, with only 14 being in. So I'm fully in favor of 12, could really see 16, and then stop there. And, of course, they do have some stuff to fix as far as the weighted scheduling and things like that, but it's just better right now, and that's just my opinion. I'll leave it at that.
Darius, I think you're 100% right about NIL and the transfer portal and it spreading out a lot of the talent. You know, why be second string or third string at Alabama or Georgia and be sitting there when you could be starting and be making some good money at another school? So I totally get that.
Yep.
But I wonder if Darius would be singing the same tune if somehow SMU goes to the ACC title game, loses to Miami, and finds themselves out.
Yeah, but I mean, they wouldn't even be a topic. They'd already be done if it was a 14 playoff. We wouldn't even be talking about SMU. They probably wouldn't even get in with a win in the.
You found yourself at the exact same spot, just with a lot more aggravation.
No, I mean, this is awesome. We get to root for SMU games. This is really cool. Otherwise, well, maybe they would get in actually if they won the ACC title game to the four. But generally, though, this is really, really cool.
But if they win the ACC title game, then they're in.
But would they have gotten into a four? They probably actually would.
Into a four, I don't know.
Yeah, that would be close.
But even the SMU case, I think, is also another example of the haves and the have-nots, right? Because SMU's only loss is by 3 points to an undefeated BYU team.
Yeah.
And they've run the table in the ACC, and they've looked really good besides that Duke game where they had like a million turnovers. They've been beating up a lot of the ACC teams, and they're outside looking in. Like, so their losses, in theory, could be to an undefeated Miami and an undefeated BYU, and they don't get in, but Alabama could lose to Vandy? Yeah. How does that make any sense?
Why, Vandy's a good team. What's wrong with that?
How many losses is Vandy going to have by the end of the year?
Three?
They could have four.
I mean, it's not a lot. I'm saying, though. Debbie's there in the SEC. Look at their schedule.
No, but clearly SMU would have better losses than Alabama does, and they'd have about the same amount. They would have lost to two teams in the college football playoff, and Alabama would have lost to one team that didn't make it. Like, that's my thing about how, like, this whole thing is just, it's not fair.
Can we put the poll question up, please? Now that you've seen the first college football playoff rankings, do you like it, or do you rather go back to just the top four? 855
or the two team?
I mean, 212-4227. Or Manny is trying to keep hope alive with the BCS making a triumphant return.
But Vanderbilt's a top 25 team. I don't know what you're saying here. I really think Alabama's two losses are impressive on the road. By the way, I mean, they have two losses to ranked teams on the road. That is not. You can't say Alabama's losses are not quality losses if such a thing exists.
Well, Notre Dame has a loss to Northern Illinois, so then you can run them too.
I'm 100% with you on that.
I guess maybe the other thing, though, about Alabama is, yes, those losses could be like air quotes good losses or whatever, but some of their wins don't look that convincing either.
Nah.
South Carolina, et cetera. 855.
South Carolina, they had that game under control. If Jeremy Bernard just takes a knee, then that game isn't even close.
I mean, that was 855-212-4227. 12 teams or four teams now that you've seen it. Lots more to do today. We actually did have some interesting moves made at the NFL trade deadline. We'll get to that as well. Teams like the Steelers, teams like the Ravens, teams like the Washington Commanders making some pretty significant moves. The Cowboys, yes, also made a move. Will it matter? I don't know. Jerry the laughing stock today? Perhaps. 855-212-4227.
Welcome back. Maggie and Perloff show. The 12-team playoff debate continued into the break. EJ is going to be the number one national cheerleader for the Miami Hurricanes if they lose a game. But I think that's, honestly, he is being objective. But that's what's going to happen, which is why I love this 12-team playoff. You're going to see fan bases really mobilize, and not just two or three like they normally are. We're going to have like six fan bases making arguments. I love this chaos and this controversy. And honestly, I want to see these teams in the... I want to see what BYU stacks up against a real team. I have no idea. Like, BYU plays Georgia. Who knows what a result would be?
I mean, they beat SMU. They beat K-State. Those are not nothing teams.
Are they Georgia?
Well, it's not Georgia, but...
Do you remember what happened when Georgia played TCU in the final game?
I do remember that. It was a beatdown, but I do remember what TCU did against Michigan, and that was a great game, an all-time game.
I know.
TCU won it.
I know. That's why I think the 12-team is going to be a really... It's a good number. I'm not even scared of 16, because I think there's a lot of parity in college football.
Don't you think there's also just this... I think it's a lot of... like, the committee members are... They're not computers like Manny's beloved BCS. But they're people, and they have their biases. And I also think there's always this like little tinge of a threat, whether it's explicit or implicit, that the SEC and the Big Ten could always just say, "Well, we don't like how this is going. Yeah. We're just going to go do our own thing."
Yeah, which they probably should.
Well, I'm just saying though that I think that tilts the scales too. And if I'm a BYU or an SMU or Miami or whatever, Miami's a little different because they're a national brand. But if I'm BYU, I don't love that.
Oh, but you can, the Big Ten and the SEC has this other argument, like put us on a neutral field and we'll see how BYU stacks up against our fifth best team.
Okay, but then you're never going to get a Cinderella story if that's how you want to do it.
If college football is becoming pro football, then maybe they should go to an even scheduling. I mean, maybe it shouldn't be this ridiculously imbalanced where you have Indiana has the 111th strength of schedule. Maybe they should work on this because it's basically pro football. What's the difference? I mean, they're paying the players
now.
There's
100 more teams.
Well, yeah, but I mean, but are they real? I mean, they're really about 60 that have any chance to do anything, and then really 20 have any chance. So I don't know. I just feel like, yeah, you say that, Maggie, but you know that Tennessee would be favored over BYU on a neutral field, like heavily.
Yeah, I think also if we just stopped making bowl games totally irrelevant, which they didn't used to be totally irrelevant when we were younger.
Oh, no, that's, you think you're getting that back? No way.
Oh, no, we're not. But I think that's led to part of this, like, this championship or bust mentality for college football, which was never how it was. It used to be okay to make it to a bowl game and everyone would play and not just be looking out for the NFL, which, listen, I get it. There's a lot of money at stake. But it didn't used to be this way where you would have a team that goes to play another bowl team and they're playing half a roster. Like Georgia playing Florida State last year, in theory, in a bowl game, that should be a really good game. But no one from Florida State played and they won 100-0 or whatever the final score was. So that was part of it that chipped away, I think, at what was, you know, fun for college football that now can't be fun. Because if there's nothing, quote unquote, on the line... Yeah. Then there's no reason to play.
Well, I think an even bigger issue was, what if you lose the importance of the regular season games? For example, Georgia-Texas, If that was a do-or-die game, that probably felt even bigger. But I think the games have still been almost as exciting. I haven't felt a drop-off in regular season excitement yet.
You want to know why? I think that's where the parity comes in. Because the teams are good and the games are exciting.
Yeah. So I don't think... Because in college basketball, it's been the opposite. They expanded the field now to 68, and the regular season is meaningless because who cares if Duke beats North Carolina? They're both going to be in the tournament. So I think college football has avoided that kind of sort of irrelevance of the regular season so far.
I think college basketball also suffered because their conference realignment had nothing to do with basketball. It had everything to do with football.
That's
and
where
football
the money is.
Money. And so it felt so willy-nilly. Well, like, why? Like, I know it's fine now, but like, Syracuse in the ACC, like I know the Big East has rebounded, and no pun intended, but they should have kept some of those traditional basketball.
I always think one and done is the major. One and done in high school players to the pros is what's killed college basketball.
Yeah, but high school players to the pros hasn't happened in 10 years.
Yeah, well, you're right.
Well, 2004, I was.
Oh yeah, I know, but like to the G League and like. I mean.
The IMG Academy.
Yeah, or Australia or whatever. I just think that one and done, but you didn't get to know the players. Like that's to me a bigger difference in conference realignment. You know, I was a kid. You know, you get to see a guy for 3 years.
Yeah.
I think that's a bummer for college basketball. But then again, in March we're all in, so they're it's not like they're dead.
That's true. Yeah. Andrew Bogus is here with us with headlines. What's going on in the world today, Bogus?
Good morning, guys. These headlines are sponsored by Prize Picks. Football season's here, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Download Prize Picks, use code MANDP, and get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states where it's lawful to wager. Visit PrizePicks.com for restrictions and details.
MANDP.
Can that become someone on the show? Can we start blaming things? Like, who did that? Who messed that up? It's like, I'm a man P. Terrible hire.
Joel Embiid has a new reason to miss games. The Sixers center suspended for 3 contests by the NBA for shoving Philadelphia Inquirer columnist Marcus Hayes in the Philly locker room Saturday night. If you don't know by now, Embiid was angry over Hayes using Embiid's son's and late brother's names in a critical column. The league statement saying in part, quote, interactions must remain professional on both sides and can never turn physical. Only 2 teams have been number 1 in the initial CFP rankings and got on to win the national title. Georgia was the last in 2021. Oregon's up next after sitting atop last night's reveal. The Ducks followed in the top 25 by Ohio State, Georgia, Miami, and Texas. But things are different now, kinda, said Selection Committee Chair Ward Manuel on ESPN.
The process is the same. We rank the best 25 teams, 1 through 25, and that's exactly what this process is designed to do from the very beginning.
But we have to reconfigure that top 25 into a 12-team bracket. So once again, Oregon, Georgia, Miami, and BYU would get first-round byes as the Power Four Conference champs. Ohio State, Boise State, Texas, Alabama, Penn State, Notre Dame, and Tennessee, Indiana would be the on-site first-round matchups. Almost as significant as that is the return of Maction. Miami of Ohio, a 27-21 win at Ball State last night. The Redhawks quarterbacked by Brett Gabbert. And yes, that is Blaine's younger brother, Brett.
Whoa. 3. Oh, for a second, I thought you were going to say son. And I was about to be like, wait a minute. No, I need oxygen.
But even that, like, how far apart are they in years?
Well, Brett, I believe, is one of the, I don't know if he's like 27, 28, but he's been in college for a long time.
Okay.
So the gap is not, and Blaine, I think, is still on the younger side. That's how bad he was. So I don't think the gap is too significant.
Oh, is Blaine one of those guys who's like 32 and we think he's been around for?
So Brett is 24.
I bet Blaine is
35. That's pretty good.
Oh, wow. He's Geno Smith draft, right? Or no?
No, he was a Jake Locker, Cam Newton draft.
Oof. I would have gotten younger on Blaine.
Is Blaine still in the league?
Yeah, definitely.
I think he's a free agent, it says here.
Oh, he's not in the... What?
Well, he was the backup in Tampa, right?
He was the backup in KC, right? Last year.
Yeah.
You're right. No one picked
him up. No one picked him up after the KC era.
Hmm.
All in.
Well, Brett had 3 touchdown passes last night in this Miami of Ohio win. The Las Vegas Raiders have promoted Scott Turner to interim offensive coordinator. You may be more familiar with his dad, Norv. He is joining the organization as a senior advisor.
His 90s called.
What year is it again?
Yeah, I mean, I want to coach on that. That is a 1998 coach. Joe Philbin's there, right? Yeah. Marvin Lewis. It's like, I mean, is there a football purpose for all these old guys there?
but is this reverse nepotism? Son gets dad back in the NFL? Like, and Scott probably had a job because he was Norv's kid. Now because he's Norv's kid, Norv gets to work for the Raiders again and actually be the offensive coordinator?
Yeah, it's like the Callahans.
It's weird.
Bill Callahan and Brian.
Oh, but wait.
Lane hired his dad at 1.2, the late Monty. Right?
Yeah. You know what's funny? I get it. You know, you want your dad there and they can help you out and advise you. Do you guys realize, like, had any of us just had a happen encounter with Mark Davis at some point in our lives, like, we could be sitting pretty right now.
Yeah.
Mike Sampter ran into him in a Las Vegas hotel lobby. I'm like, if you had played that interaction a little bit better, you might be running the Raiders right now.
No, I think Mark could see right through Sampter.
He's got Jim Gray on the advisory board and, like, is making serious decisions.
Could probably see over him, too.
By the way, you know who else?
He's not even awake to hear this.
We did once put Sampter in a box and then pushed him over.
Do you want to hear some more names on that Raiders staff? Did you know Rob Ryan was in the house?
No, he's not.
Yes.
Really?
Did you know Cadillac Williams is on that staff?
That I didn't know. I remember
Edgar Bennett, who I remember as a player. I think I've drafted him in fantasy a couple times. Ricky Manning Jr.
I think Tom Coughlin's also an advisor, too.
No.
Because Antonio Pierce, it's like his greatest moment was with Tom.
Yeah, this is an all-star staff. I mean, they're probably all going to be gone.
It's going really well. They must be good coaches.
Yeah.
Elderly people going to Vegas? What's like out of the ordinary here?
I know. Like, what is going on in this staff? Yeah, Rob Ryan's definitely there, and he definitely still has the long hair.
What's his title?
I can't read this. It is Senior Defensive Assistant.
Fun coordinator.
Senior.
To be fair, he's kept a pretty low profile.
Yeah, I don't know. I saw this tweet yesterday where they have pictures on the website of all their coaches, and they're all there.
If this was Rex, he'd be like on stage with some showgirls or something. Yeah. Still talking about Belichick.
But Rob actually has been on pretty much every team in the NFL quietly.
Yes.
That guy's been around. Joe Philbin, what is he doing there? Is Norv Turner, I was thinking about this last night, was he part of Emmitt Smith's like record? Year did he start coaching?
I mean, Norv Turner run the ball. He was also a Raiders coach.
Was he like in 85 or like, so has he been coaching for 50 years?
Yeah, I mean, his first job was the Rams in 85. And then he was offensive coordinator of the Cowboys beginning in 91.
Manny, what year were you born?
97.
Oh, thank God. I thought it was me under 2000 for some reason.
Oh, like 02? No.
Yeah.
New millennium.
No, that's Nico.
No.
Nico, Amanda.
97, yeah. Huh? That was a good year.
It was a fun year.
Junior year of high school.
Sure it was, guys.
Jordan flu game.
It's like, I'm sure it was, you olds.
So you know Norv Turner as the Washington football coach then?
No, he was as Raiders senior advisor.
I'm just kidding.
Heard of him today.
Maybe Chargers head coach?
Totally kidding, yeah.
Who would name their son Norv?
Yeah, I've always actually
wondered. What is that short for?
Norval?
Norval.
Okay, that's my favorite.
That's all right.
That name didn't take off. I haven't met
not exactly Jalen, you're saying?
No,
I've not met a Norval since.
We had one athlete, it was named Jalen, and all of a sudden half the population is Jalen.
Need to fact check that.
This
story.
One bothers you, I can tell.
I get that Jalen Rose was the first Jalen. That just doesn't seem right.
It's a big claim that no one can ever
verify.
Yeah,
it just doesn't seem. I really need a fact check on that one. Like, in the history of mankind, there was never a Jalen before Jalen Rose.
I mean,
because when Jalen Rose came into college basketball, I was like, wow, that's such a weird first name. I don't remember ever thinking
and
that.
And now, kind of like milk, there are 37 different ways to spell Jalen.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can get a Y in there.
You can get an E in there. Like two E's, rather.
All right.
The silent Z is... No, I'm just kidding. Have you ever wondered how many of there are you in the world?
With your name?
Yeah. Like, I know there's another Maggie Gray. She's won an Oscar for set design. Yeah. She's British, and she's probably not happy
Congrats, Maggie.
Coming up on her corner.
There's Elijah Stewart, who played at USC and was a pretty good basketball player.
There you go.
There's one Andrew Perloff. He's a hedge fund manager in England who's made millions of dollars from Panther Capital. And
are you sure that's not you?
Yes, no. So I once in a while get some high-end investment people saying, we want to help you manage your money. I'm like, I think you have the wrong Andrew Perloff.
You should take him up on these things.
Well, I don't know. They're
here's
like
$84.
They're like, here's where you should put your pounds. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's not American. By the way, I'm Googling famous people named Jalen. I'm going to find someone before Jalen Rose.
Good luck.
In the
How
meantime,
many Manny Rodriguez's do you think there are?
I do remember one Emmanuel Rodriguez in, like, the Little League World Series when I was 13 years old or something like that. So I know there's at least one that's in Mexico. Go figure.
Shohei Ohtani's World Series shoulder injury included a torn labrum. He had surgery yesterday to fix that. The Dodgers expect him to be ready for opening day. The Braves said yesterday that Ronald Acuna Jr. and Spencer Strider will likely not be ready for the start of next season. They are returning respectively from a torn ACL and elbow surgery. And let's finish with some Canada on Canada crime.
Suzuki loses his stick. Coronado shoots the puck and scores! Matt Coronado, the hero here in La Belle Provence. He scores the game-tying goal with 2 minutes and 46 seconds left, and he scores the game winner 7 seconds into overtime as the Flames battle back and beat the Canadiens 3-2 in OT.
In OT, that's Flames Radio. The little guys from Calgary take down big city Canadiens again 3-2 in that goal from Matt Coronado.
What are you doing, Bogues?
I'm sorry?
There's one NHL highlight that has to be played today. Our guy scored. Is that later?
I got four of these, man.
Yeah, I know, but I was so excited. I saw it last night. The man, Ivan Squared, scored. And I was like, I can't wait to hear Bogus do this headline. I'm sorry I jumped your gun here.
What are you, Romo?
Yeah.
Just trouncing all over Bogus' call
here. I know, but Ivan is such an event when that dude scores.
Perloff's got Google alerts just the same.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting here. I love that we jump on to little hockey stories. We cover that sport better than
I know. You ask
anybody
for hockey, I give you hockey, and then it's not the right hockey. I just can't win with you.
Yeah.
Keep you on your toes.
Maybe later we'll get some Ivan.
I'll tell the newsroom about your hockey crush so they find all the Ivan sounds.
Get our best people on it, here, Billy. Yeah.
That's about it. It's a two-person list.
I'm too busy looking for people named Jalen. There's no one. There's absolutely no one. Not a single Jalen before Jalen Rose.
I thought you were saying you're looking for more Connors to jump on their bandwagon. Ivan and everyone named Connor who plays hockey. Perloff's like, I love that dude.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's easy. Connor McDavid, Connor Bedard.
Think Connor's going to hang on as far as the name?
I don't know.
Is it going the way of the North?
We have a guy here. We have a couple Connors. There's Connor Hughes, the Jets writer. Mm-hmm. Connor's a pretty solid name. I don't think that's
Connor's
a bad
one. Connor's like Sean. I think it's like, it was like a preppy kind of name when,
in
like the 80s
preppy.
And 90s.
But it could be like Ivan. It's also one of those names. Could be a last name. We could have Connor.
That would be something.
Welcome to the sleep-deprived Maggie and Perloff show.
Certainly not distracted by anything, that's for sure. Let's get more of this Connor talk. This is gold. 855-212-4227. I really hope the bosses are listening today. In fact, our former boss is going to be joining us at the top of the hour for a lot of fun, specifically to talk about altercations.
It's been good.
Between media members and athletes. 855-212-4227. Bogus, thanks so much. Coming up, what did the Steelers do yesterday? They got better. We'll talk about it. Welcome back. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Back, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We talked about the college football playoff committee rankings. We have the poll question up, EJ. You can vote at Maggie and Pearl on X. Thank you. Now that you've seen the first rankings of all 12, do you like this or would you rather just go back to four? What's going to get us the truest champion? That's up there for you to go vote. But Perloff, I know yesterday you were super excited about the NFL trade deadline.
What a bummer. Hey, what happened? Where are all the trades? There was a couple good ones, but I thought there was going to be something massive. I thought the Niners were going to go all in. I thought the Cowboys might shock everyone and make a real move. I thought my Eagles were going to make a deal. And it turned out a lot of marginal teams sort of picking at the edges.
Do you think this was more about teams that will regret not doing something at the deadline and or teams, you know, that didn't do enough? Like, I'm looking at what the Washington Commanders did with adding Marshon Lattimore. Now, Marshon Lattimore is like a four-time Pro Bowl cornerback, but has had some injury concerns. The Washington Commanders' defense is getting better incrementally, Pearl, but they are not a great unit. And Dan Quinn is their head coach. So adding a defensive player, I think, was a major move for them. And I'm going to be honest with you. I think they're looking at the Lions. I think they're looking at your Philadelphia Eagles. They're looking at the Lions. They're looking at teams that have explosive wide receivers and thinking, we need somebody who can cover man-to-man.
Well, I'll tell you right now, Marshon Lattimore is one of the handsiest cornerbacks in the league. So I'm calling Roger Goodell right now and say, why? Let's throw some flags on this dude. But that's my Eagles fan in me. No, that's a big move. I feel like what you just said, it's too rich to say they're going after the Lions because maybe I'm being too down on them, but even best case scenario, like they are going to be massive underdogs in the playoffs to the Lions because their defense is still a bit unproven. They've kind of gotten the right schedule.
That's fair. Yeah. But again, now they just made a pretty big defensive upgrade if Lattimore can stay healthy. Za'Darius Smith was obviously traded yesterday. The Lions shore up their pass rush, so they were not sitting on their hands by any means. And the Steelers added not only Mike Williams, the wide receiver for the Jets, that lasted about 5 seconds. He gets flipped to Pittsburgh, and then they also added Preston Smith from the Green Bay Packers, who's got 2.5 sacks this year as a defensive lineman.
I mean, talking about... What is that? Is Mike Williams their ninth choice at wide receiver? How many teams, wide receivers have they been linked to that they did not get?
So I'm starting not to believe it. I mean,
I don't know. I mean, all the reporters were pretty clear that they preseason made an offer to Ayuk. We know that.
Yep.
You'll believe that. During the season, it seems like they were all in on trying to get DK Metcalf or Cortland Sutton. That did not work. They wanted Adam Thielen. He got hurt. They wanted everybody. They wanted, Christian Kirk. They were ready to make that trade, reportedly.
He got hurt.
So it's like, I saw Mike Williams play with the Jets. To me, this is a very, very marginal addition. Like, I would not change the Steelers win total an ounce for this, would you?
He's a bum.
I'm not changing it, but maybe this is the ultimate scenario where Mike Williams needed to get out of New York.
Right.
I mean, the Aaron Rodgers throwing him under the bus in a press conference, when you're talking about a veteran like that who's got a lot of pride and they brought in Davante Adams and made him way less relevant.
Don't be a freaking weirdo.
Then I think that he probably just needed the change of scenery, and maybe now he's got something really to prove, which I don't know if he had at the Jets.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, it seems like the clear issue is he hasn't gotten all his speed back from the ACL. But
That's true.
Think about any play that he was involved in, like the DB's right there. Yeah. No separation at all.
Yeah, is this going to move the needle? I don't really think so.
Was he the third or fourth receiver? He's not starting, really.
No, and he's coming back from an injury. He has a tendency to get hurt. But is there a little bit of Steelers, like pixie dust or something, where it's a team that's already overperformed or outperformed at least what I thought they were going to do, and you have Russell Wilson throwing these really catchable moon balls, and you also, anytime you add a defensive play of the Steelers, I'm like, well, that's... And you're playing on a line with T.J. Watt. Everyone's going to be good on that defensive line, right? And Cam Hayward.
Right. So exactly.
And Hightower.
And you think the same thing in Arthur Smith's offense. Everyone's going to be underperforming. I mean, look at it. He made Bijan look bad last year. So I in Atlanta, when he was the coach slash offensive coordinator there.
But they're not trying to go for a high-flying offense. They just want to do enough to beat you.
Right. But that's why, honestly, like, I think Mike Williams was a settling issue, and I don't expect him to make a difference. Even Darius Slayton, who they tried to trade for, apparently they were all in on the Giants receiver. Like, that's a perfect receiver for Russell Wilson, who likes to throw the ball downfield. Yeah, I don't think this was their idea. I don't think they came away from this happy, to be honest, on the wide receiver front.
Probably not. Yeah, the Giants didn't do anything.
Yeah, baby.
Are you happy about that, Manny?
But who were the possible sales on the Giants?
Zeke Ojulari was really the only guy that probably could have gotten any value from. But why trade anybody? Why try to get a 6th-round, 5th-round pick for anybody? Why do that? It's basketball season, obviously.
Yeah, but I mean...
Manny's turned the page.
By the way, I love how yesterday, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they gave up a 5th-round pick for that guy. Like, you guys know, like, 90% of 5th-round picks have no chance of, like, sticking in the NFL.
Yep.
Yeah, which I guess the only person who gave up some real draft capital outside of some of the wide receivers we saw early, Davante Adams, Amari Cooper, stuff like that, but it was the Marshon Lattimore, 3rd-round pick, 3rd, 4th, and 5th, right?
To me, that's not great. I feel like, oh my God, that's a great deal. Like, who cares? It wasn't even their 3rd-round pick.
Yeah, they had an extra one.
Yeah, that the Eagles gave them, and that I think it's the Dolphins pick in some bizarre trade that got the Dolphins Jalen Wright. Anyway, yeah, the Washington, I think, did really well. 3rd-round pick for Marshon Lattimore. Again, you know who did really well? The Kansas City Chiefs. Like, they didn't give up much for DeAndre Hopkins.
Well, they made all their moves earlier. We were already seeing, like, those moves already have helped them win a game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, they proved, Tampa. Like, what was a third for DeAndre Hopkins? Like, man, they should have, Tennessee should have gotten more.
855-212-4227. A league MVP shoves a reporter. That is right in the wheelhouse of our former boss, Spike Eskin, who's going to join us next, getting up early for us in Philadelphia. Don't move. Maggie and Pearl.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.